Yes, Lord's good. Amen. Amen. I want to thank everybody for all the happy birthday wishes and all that. I appreciate that. That's a blessing. And it's great to be saved. Somebody said, oh, what, are you planning on retiring? No, I ain't planning. I'm planning on refiring. Amen. I want to get fired back up more. Amen. I want to get fired up and about serving God. And I enjoy serving the Lord.
Amen.
Folks, I'm telling you, I enjoy cutting the grass here. I enjoy working on the buses. I enjoy seeing the buses go out. I enjoy seeing all that stuff. I enjoy seeing kids come in on the buses.
Yeah.
I enjoy seeing the Sunday school classes filled. I enjoy that stuff. And I tell you what, I like to go around churches where kids are, you know, in church and liking church. But you know what happens? The world gets the kids and gets a hold of them. And then they start not liking it anymore because the world's got a hold of them. They got so much of the world got a hold of their hearts. And but one day they'll wake up. One day they'll come out of the stupor that they're in, and they'll realize what you've been telling them is the truth. And, you know, they think they got the tiger by the tail. They know what they're doing, all that stuff, but they don't. They're going to make a big mess. They'll make a mess out of their life. And I pray, God, that they would wake up before that. I had a brother call me up this week and talk to me about his child. And he said, man, I raised my kid in church and all that. I said, well, you haven't been a hypocrite in front of them, have you? And I said, usually when parents are hypocrites in front of their kids, it causes the kids to say what serving God is not real.
Yeah.
And they'll get then they'll use it against their parents. They'll use that thing and say, well, you did it. You ain't living right and all that. They'll use that stuff. I'm glad my kids didn't use that against me. But I told this guy, I said, you haven't been a hypocrite. He said, no, me and my wife have been steady serving God. I said, well, you just be patient and you pray and God will bring them back. God will definitely bring them back. And I said, don't be a hypocrite. He said, what happens if you're a hypocrite in front of them? Ask them to forgive you.
Yeah.
Say, look, I'm sorry. I've been a hypocrite. I haven't lived for God like I should. I say one thing in church and live another. God, forgive me. I'm going to change from here on out. And change it. Now, you might not stop them from going out living like in the world. And like I said, young people think they got it all figured out. They know what they're doing. And what will happen is they'll go out to set the world on fire, but they'll come back home to get matches. Amen. They'll run out. But I'll tell you what, you just be steady serving God and pray for your kids. And I'll tell you this, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you pray for your children, I pray for my son Josh. And when he went out, he got out, and we prayed, and we fasted, and me and my wife, we cried, and God brought him back. But he had to make a bunch of messes in his life. And what's going to happen to a lot of our young people, they'll have to make some messes in their life, and you got to be there to help them try to clean it up. Not to throw it in their face, but try to help them clean it up. And we've seen a lot of young people through this church, they go out, and I've run into them all over the place. And he said, well, my situation's going to be different. I know what. No, it's going to be the same.
Yeah.
I've seen it over and over again where young people go out, I'm going to change. I'll show you. I'm going to show what I'm going to do. And then they end up making a mess. And then, you know, I see them when they're 30 years old, got a couple kids, and they're ready to quit and go somewhere else and do something else, and they can't find no peace and happiness. But I'll tell you what, I know what we got is right. Amen. Take your Bible, look in Philippians chapter 2, or chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And thank God for the book of Philippians. Philippians was written around 62 A.D., and it was written about the same time of the Ephesians. But and it's a great book. I think every Christian that got saved, if you're saved, you ought to read Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians and Colossians. You ought to read those books. But there's been an epidemic. Let me tell you this before I get into the Bible. There's been an epidemic around in churches, with squirrels getting in their attics and everything. And the Presbyterian church had a meeting about it. And they decided what they're going to do about their squirrels. After much prayer and consideration, they concluded that the squirrels were predestinated to be there, and they should not interfere in God's divine will. At the Baptist church, the squirrels had taken an interest in the baptistry. The deacons met and decided to put a water slide in the baptistry and let the squirrels drown themselves. The squirrels liked to slide, and unfortunately, they knew instinctively how to swim, so twice as many squirrels showed up the following week. The Methodist church decided They were not in a position to harm any of God's creatures, so they humanely trapped their squirrels, set them free near the Baptist church. 2 weeks later, the squirrels were back when the Baptist took down the water slide. But the Catholic Church, they came up with a very creative strategy. They baptized all the squirrels with a sprinkler attached to a garden hose and consecrated them as members of the church. That was good. Made them members. Made all the squirrels members. And the only time they seen them squirrels was Christmas and Easter. And then the Jewish synagogue, they had an idea, so they took one of the squirrels and they circumcised him, and they haven't seen a squirrel since. Amen. We have the electric bill for the gym. The electric bill for the gym. You all pay for the light bulbs. $2,000 for light bulbs. And long as people don't leave the air conditioner running in there, the demand went down to 38 rather than 150. And we've used 400 more kilowatts in the gym this past month in May because we had our youth rally and everything in there. And our bill was $466 rather than $2,000. Amen. So what a blessing. Light bulbs did it, brother.
Amen.
All right, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Like I said, it was written by Paul, and he was a prison epistle. And when he was he's writing to the converts in Macedonia. It's the second visit of the city as a missionary journey that Paul had. And it was a great church. It was named Philippi after a king and of Macedonia. And it's called Lover of Horses, and that's what Philippi means. It meant that. It's a practical book for converts, and they were getting persecuted by Jews and Gentiles. Now, in Philippians chapter 1, look at this. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Now, you notice what it says, all the saints in Christ Jesus. When you got saved, how many of y'all saved in here? Amen. Y'all saved? It's writing to you. It says all the saints. We ain't got to wait till you die to become a saint. Your Bible says you're a saint, so if you're a saint now, you ought to act like it, amen? You don't have a little circle around your head like on the cartoons, but I'll tell you what, some Christians, you wonder if they got two horns sticking up rather than a circle around their head, and I've seen some. Matter of fact, I've seen Christians, I've been driving down here through Kenton, and I've seen them coming out of the liquor store with a 12-pack and all that stuff. After I got saved, I had a hard time with drinking. I mean, I struggled with it. My father put beer in my milk bottle when I was a baby, and I struggled for about the first year of drinking, and I finally got rid of it. I've had people in our church that got saved, and they went and poured the liquor down the drain. That's how you know a person really got in, amen, when they got rid of that stuff. Why? Because they call it wine and spirits, and that's the Bible says that if you're deceived by that stuff, it'll ruin your life, and that's what I've seen in people's lives. They start drinking after they're saved. They say, well, all things are lawful unto me, but the Bible says not all things are expedient. Now, I got rid of stuff in my life that was going to hinder me from serving God. I got rid of race cars. I got rid of a bunch of stuff that's going to hinder me from serving God. And you all sitting here this morning, you know what hinders you from serving God. And I'll tell you what, you ought to say, God, I don't want nothing to hinder me from serving you. I want it out of my life. I want to get it out. And God's not going to make you do it. He's going to want you to do it. He's going to ask you to do it. I mean, from the Word of God, He'll ask you, but He's not going to make you do it. That's something you got to do. As a child of God, if you want to grow, if you want to serve God, I'm going to tell you something. There ought to be some things that's changing in your life. There ought to be some things, man, for Christ to be a sinner in your life. As a Christian, I want Jesus Christ to be a sinner in my life. I want to be sinner of our home. I want to be sinner of our church. Most Christians don't want Jesus Christ as a sinner of everything. I'm going to tell you something. If He's the sinner of your life, He'll control your life. He'll bless you. He'll take care of you, and He'll men and just meet your need, amen. I've seen the Lord meet my need over and over and over and over again. And God, and I only knew that God was the one that did it. Most Christians don't want Jesus Christ the center of their life. I mean, you ought to want Him to be the center of your life. After we sing, on a hill called Calvary, Jesus my Lord suffered for me. Carried the cross all the way, my sins to atone. I mean, you start thinking about what He suffered for you and I. man, what he went through. And the Bible says, you know, he paid for our life. He paid for it. Yeah. The Bible says, Paul says, he said to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. God set it up in the church. A lot of people get this idea, we don't have to go to church after I say. I don't need to go to church. Somebody told me the other day, says they ran into somebody at somewhere, Walmart or something. They said, well, I don't got to go to church. The Bible commands you to. Amen. You say, well, you don't have to. But if you want to be, you can be saved and not go to church. But to be a good Christian, you ought to be in church. Yeah. What does that mean? A Christian means Christ-like. Following Jesus Christ. And people think this idea that after I'm saved, I ain't got to go to church. And the Bible commands us so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's why I don't understand people don't come back Sunday night, Wednesday night. I don't understand that. I mean, it boggles my mind. I mean, people say, well, I'm a Christian. I mean, some people are providentially hindered. There's some people that's older can't drive at night. I understand that. I always wanted to try to buy a nice bus, a real nice bus, that we could pick up seniors that want to come on Sunday night because of their drive. They don't want to drive because of their eyesight. I understand all that. And folks, but I'll tell you what, I don't understand where a Christian doesn't desire to be around the things of God. And he says to all the saints which are in Christ Jesus, and the bishops and deacons, a bishop is a pastor. And deacons, we have deacons in this church. We have two. Deacons is attendant, somebody that runs through the dust. And the Bible tells us that. He says, grace be unto you. Amen. Everybody in this room, you want grace, don't you? Amen. You want grace. Look what else he says. And peace. Peace. Everybody wants peace. You know what? You know what, man? It boggles my mind that people, they say, I want peace. I want peace in my life. I want grace in my life. But you're not willing to show any grace. You're not willing to get in the book to find some peace of God in your mind. I mean, I realized when I got saved, I was 18 years old. I'd done a lot of bad things. I ended up in prison at 18 years old. I got a brother that's got life in prison. I've done a lot of bad things. But, man, I tell you what, I wanted peace in my life because all the things halted me. Of the things I've done in the past. And I said, I'm going to change some things. And God started changing me. We sing that song, my kids and I used to travel around. My wife would play the guitar. There's been a change in me, a change in me. I'm not the one I used to be. Old things are passed away since Christ has set me free. There's been a change in me. That old man you knew before, he's gone forevermore. He's been covered by the blood shed on Calvary. I'm a brand new man. I've been touched by God's own hand. There's been a change in me. There ought to be a change in your life. Man, you ought to want to serve God. You ought to want to read his Bible. You ought to want to be in church. You ought to want to grow. I mean, folks, I'm the kind of guy, I want to know what's happening. I want to know what's going on. I'm the kind of guy, I'm not going to sit back and let somebody else. I want to know. Even fixing vehicles, I want to get in there and find out what caused the stupid thing to break down. I want to know. I want to fix it. I want to be able to help. And that's the way I am. I'm just that way. I want to get in. Some people say, well, I'll let somebody else handle it. And that's the way most Christians are. We'll let somebody else do it. We'll let somebody else handle that. I want to find out what makes it tick, what makes it work. I want to find out that's Christianity thing. I want to know what makes it work. What makes it tick? Paul says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul saying to the Philippian church, he said, man, every time I think, you know what? This church here, the Philippi church, it started out right and they finished right. You know what I've seen Christians do? They start out right, they get saved, and they don't finish right. The Bible talks about we're in a race. Take your Bible, look at this. We're in a race. You say, who are you racing against? You're not racing against me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at this. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 9. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Once you got saved, when the day you got saved, your race started. You hear me? The day you got saved, you've been in this race. As you say, well, they call it the race of life. You know, the world does. They said, we're in this race, the human race. But after you got saved, you became a Christian. You're in a race. And it's not racing against me. It's not racing against your brother. Because the Bible says they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. You can't compare yourself against me. I can't compare myself against you. But who, say, who do you compare yourself to? Jesus Christ. You compare yourself to him. You, what happens, most people say, well, I can never do that. I can never be what do what the preacher does. You don't compare yourself against me.
Right.
Say, what about Jesus Christ? Jesus said, he said, I can do all things, Paul said. That's why I'm going through the book of Philippians. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. You're in a race, whether you like it or not. You say, well, I'll just sit on the sidelines. Then you'll just sit on the sidelines, and you'll get to heaven, and the Lord will say, what was the matter with you? Your legs weren't broke. I mean, you, man, you had opportunity to serve me. You know what happens to a lot of people? They'll serve God. They'll start out like a flash. I told Ro, when Ro got saved, I said, you know what happens to most Christians? They burn out at 5 years. 5 years they burn out. And we've seen that over and over and over again around here. Christians get on fire for God, and 5 years, and then finally they'll backslide or something that happened in their life, and they'll say, man, I quit. I just can't take this no more. And then they'll sit on the side, and then they'll be miserable the rest of their life sitting on the sideline. And they'll have no reason to live. None. And they'll end up drinking themselves, go back to drinking. I've seen Christians go back to drinking, go back to drugging, go back to the old ways. So how do you know they do that? Simon Peter said, I go a fishing. And he goes back. Now you're sitting here this morning. Are you going to be here 5 years? In 5 years, are you still going to be serving God? So I've been hearing about the Lord coming back, and he ain't coming back in 5 years, I'm out of here. Come on, man. I've been pastoring here 30 years. I've been saying the Lord's coming back. I don't know when, but I want to be faithful till he comes.
Amen.
5 years, I told Roe, steady pace yourself, boy. I said, steady pace yourself. As a Christian, you're supposed to get a pace. They teach you in running. And hey, I'm 61 years old. I didn't eat breakfast this morning. What is that? These things got devils in them, man. Anyway, good night. Anyway, this the same pack? That's a different pack. Hey, I'm going to have a baby. Listen. Yeah, Shelly, I'm jammed up. I need some Pepto-Bismol. Good night. Isn't that something, mate? You know, that shows you how I'm trying to get you something this morning.
Yeah.
It shows you the devil don't want you to listen. He don't want you to hear what I'm going to say. Most Christians last 5 years. I told Ro, I said, boy, you better pace yourself. Ro was, man, he was going to town. And I said, pace yourself. As a Christian, that's what we're supposed to do. But what happens is you take off like a shooting star. Take off like a shooting star. Y'all trying to get me to say something bad. I wasn't going to say it. Bad out of, you know, anyway. And they don't pace themselves, and they make a mess out of their life. And as a Christian, you're supposed to pace yourself. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Paul writes this. How many of y'all have been saved 5 years? Raise your hand. 5 years. More than 5 years now. Now be honest, how many of y'all thought about quitting? I can't raise my hand on that because I haven't thought. Because see, where I came from, what God did for me, man, it's just such a joy to be able to serve him. Even though we got this church and all the things that happened in our lives, we still found it a joy to serve the Lord. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, it says, know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize. Then Paul says, so run that ye may obtain. So what do you mean, obtain what? A prize? There's rewards for his children. See, not only you got rewards there, you'll have rewards here. And there's five crowns, y'all know that. There's more than that. Five crowns for sure of a Christian will have. And the Bible says this, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that strive for the mastery is temperate in all things. What does that mean? Temperate. He controls himself. As a Christian, you've got to bring this body under control. Why? Temperance, we get that word temper from. You get mad. You'll get mad at God. You'll get mad at God for things that happens in your life. You'll think, God, you're unfair. But a lot of times, if it traces back in our life, we trace back what's happened. It's usually decisions that we've made. And we can't blame him because of decisions we've made. And we didn't pray about it. It says, every man that strive for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are what? Everybody say it with me. What? Incorruptible crown. That means that crown will never fade. It'll never rot. It'll never get garnished. It was just incorruptible. So you think you'll have it throughout eternity? Yeah. You'll be throwing it at Jesus' feet. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. Paul saying, I'm running. I'm running this race. I've been pastor here for 30 years. You say, have you done everything right? No, I've made some stupid mistakes. You say, what are they? I ain't telling you. I've said some stupid things. As a pastor, you know, a lot of congregation, they've put up with a lot of stuff from me. This congregation. They put up with stuff because they've kind of overlooked it. I've said some stupid things. And there's going to be preachers get up here, say stupid things. You're not supposed to get mad and go, quit. I therefore so run, not as uncertain, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Talking about boxing now. Running and is a type of the Christian life. Why? Because in boxing, you know, you get hit back. You get hit, you get punched in the mouth, you get punched in the face. He said, I therefore run not as uncertain. He said, and fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I mean, he's fighting who? Brother Joe was talking about that in Sunday school. We're in a fight. The day you got saved, if you're sitting in here, the fight started. So what kind of fight you talking about, preacher? The fight, whether you're going to do right or not. Whether you're going to fight your flesh is going to want you to do wrong. My flesh, after I got saved, I love drinking. I mean, I drink beer like it was water, whiskey, all that stuff. My father gave it to me in my milk bottle when I was a baby. I was stealing Colt 45 trucks, just unloading them, stealing the whole truck, giving it to my guidance counselors. Selling it to the students. I was hustling all the way through junior high. And after I got saved, God said, put the bottle down. Get away from that stuff. It'll ruin your life. Isn't it something people think they're only having a good time if they have a bottle? If they only have something they're drinking. So what happens is they get out of their mind halfway and then they just do anything and everybody's sleeping around and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. A man always wants to get a woman drinking if he's trying to seduce her. Why? Because if they say if a woman will smoke, she'll drink. If she'll drink, she'll do anything. The devil, he's slick. And what happens is, most of the time, the truth be known, what happened to a lot of the ladies, they got seduced and it messed up their life. Now, they wouldn't trade anything for their children. Thank God for the kids. But I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't want you to be seduced by the devil. The Bible says, so run I, not as one that beateth the air, so fight I. Look what he says. But I keep, look what it says in verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it in subjection. If you don't learn how and to bring your body in subjection when it comes to spiritual things and physical, when it comes to the physical stuff, because it's a lot of times the physical and the spiritual is connected. The physical, you get this? The physical and the spiritual are connected. If you don't have a spiritual life with the Lord and be able to control and be able to say, Lord, I want to serve you, then the physical will control you. And your spirituality will die. It'll die. And you'll quit reading your Bible. You'll be out of church 5 years, some less than that. We've had guys, and I've said this and referred to it, I've had men get up behind this pulpit and said, I'll never quit serving God. 2 weeks later, they were gone. We've tried to get them back in. They were so embarrassed. They were so embarrassed of themselves, they won't come. Because they opened their mouths. So you're in a race. Go back to Philippians chapter 1. You're in a race, man. And the race is against you. It's against you. You're running against self. This life, this Christian life, he says, Paul saying in verse 3 of Philippians chapter 1, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. There's some Christians in here. There's some people, first, as soon as you say their name, you can say their name. I can say, thank God for that person. And you can say somebody else's name, and I'll think something else. I'm serious, man. And you think about the Lord. The Bible says we got, we sing that song, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. With the white robes, angels sing the story. A sinner saved by grace. When you got saved, God will give you a name. Or when you get to heaven, at the judgment seat of Christ, God's going to give you a name. You say, you believe this? I believe it. God's going to give you a name according to how you served him. We just read the church of Philippi. It means running, what, running with horses? Lover of horses. God's going to give you a name. I want my name. The Ryman name was accursed. The Ryman name was, people hated it. After I got saved, I went back to people and I hurt and I've done stuff too. Robbed. And said, I'm sorry, I'll pay. Nicodemus said to Jesus, he said, Jesus, I'm going to buy at your house today. You read John chapter 3. He said, Nicodemus, I'm going to buy at your house today. And Nicodemus confessed to Jesus, said, anything I took unaware or I took by, stealing or whatever, he said, I'll pay back fourfold. I mean, when somebody gets saved, you'll want to change some things in your life. Amen. You want to make it right. People always want to wait till their deathbed to make it right. Don't wait till your deathbed to make it right. Say you're sorry to people. Tell your children you're sorry. Tell your family you're sorry. Make it right. He said, I thank always in every prayer of mine for all you making requests with joy. I mean, folks, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I walk around here and even at home, I'm doing stuff and I'm whistling, I'm thanking God. And I got, this is joy, man. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy. Do you have any joy in your life? Do you have any peace in your life? If you don't, and you name the name of Christ, there's something wrong with you. You say, well, I know that, preacher. Then get it right with him. If you get hooked up with him, I mean, get hooked up. Amen. I used to keep a pair of jumping cables in here. I used to say to folks, I said, I got a pair of jumping cables. Maybe we can hook you up this morning. Get you fired up. What we try to do is get people fired up in church, man. Amen. Sunday morning, we try to take it up to another level. Yep. Sunday night's different. But Sunday morning, we try to get it up another level. Why? You come in here, you've been staying up late at night watching TV or doing whatever you do and sitting around, and you come in, you're falling asleep during church service, and man, we're trying to wake you up. Amen. Get you some Bible. Amen. Get you some spirituality where you want to serve God. Man, serving the Lord is not just about being a pastor. It's not just about being a deacon. It's not just about being a trustee. Serving the Lord is just being faithful in obedience. Amen. The Christian life is a life of obedience. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says disobedience is like witchcraft. Children, you know what? We want our children to be obedient to us. I taught my children to be obedient to their daddy. My son-in-laws, they'll say, every time my son-in-laws will say something, and my daughters tell me this. They said, well, you know, dad, and they go, you got to go ask daddy. You got to go to your daddy. And I told them, don't be jealous. I said, they trust their daddy. Why? I taught them to be obedient. I taught Josh to be obedient. I don't know where that went.
Amen.
Samson to be obedient. Chris to be obedient. One time Chris was out after Chris come back from Bible school. He come back from Bible school and he was messing up around here. Some of y'all know. He was messing up. And somebody called me up and said, Chris is messing up. He ain't doing right. So I went over. I told my sister, he was living with us. I said, don't let him move out. I wouldn't let my children move out. I let Josh move out because I said, if you're not going to go to church, you're going to have to get out. And I didn't say it that way harsh. My wife and I cried for 3 days. I said, if you're not going to be faithful to God, then you can't live in my house. Why? Because the Bible tells about a bishop having rule over his house. And I have to rule over my house, and not in the sense that I carry a whip. It's not like that. But anyway, my nephew Chris wasn't doing right. My sister let him move out. He went across the street and stayed in the trailer over there. Somebody called me up and said, he's out doing this, doing that. So I went over to the house, sat in the dark, waited for him. He came in about 3 o'clock in the morning. I was sitting on the couch, and he turned the light on. He saw me, but I had a heart attack. When he flipped that light on, and he tried to scoot past me real fast to run down the hallway, I grabbed him by his shirt, and I yanked him back. I openly, because the Bible says a preacher can't be a striker, I openly smacked him, and I smacked him around. And he told me, so I'm going to ruin your ministry if I stay here. I said, no, you're going to ruin your own, you stupid idiot.
Yep, that's right.
Smacked him to the floor a couple times. Y'all, how many of y'all have ever seen that movie, Sheffy? Well, Sheffy gets the tar beat out of him by a deacon in the church. But anyway, I don't know why I told you that stupid story about it. Anyway. Verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all making requests for joy. Folks, I tell you what, you can make my past. I'm going on 31 years now. And really, it's a joy, the pastor. It's a joy. It's a heartache. It's a heartache a lot because if my phone rings, my whole day can change. But it's a joy to be able to serve God. Verse 5, we could talk about joy for a long time. It says, for your fellowship in the gospel. You know what, folks? He's saying to this church, he said, your fellowship in the gospel. Everybody sitting in this room, you're saved. You're in the gospel. You're in the fellowship of the gospel. And that's putting the gospel out, telling your lost family, telling folks, the kids going up there yesterday, passing out Bibles, Brother Chad and his family, had passing out Bibles, holding signs, all our guys, Brother Michael Shane and Eric and his family, and all of them passing out Bibles, their fellowship of the gospel, trying to get the gospel out. It's from the first day until now. And look what it says. I want you to underline this in your Bible. This far as we probably would get. It says, look at verse 6. Mark it in your Bible, underline it, whatever you got to do. It says, being confident of this very thing. I mean, man, I know and I'm confident of this. I'm confident. I've got enough confidence in God knowing that he's going to take care of things in my life. If you know what? The Bible says you have not because you ask not. I spend a lot of time on the phone with people praying. People call me up and say, preacher, will you pray? And I don't get the idea, oh, I can't call a preacher, he's too busy. No, you need prayer, I'll be glad to take it. That's my job. Don't take away my job. It says, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you. Look what he says. Jesus started it when you got in the race. But you've got to let him work in you. We sing that song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, sun and earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. You know what a parent does? A parent, well, your responsibility is to raise that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's your responsibility. If you're saved and you got a child, your responsibility is protect that child, raise that child, and train that child to love Jesus Christ. You know what they do in Islam, over in the Palestinian states, over in Iraq, over in Iran, ISIS? They raise their babies from the time they were born to hate Jews, hate Christians, and that maybe one day they'll be able to carry a backpack with bombs in it to kill people. I don't understand that mentality. But as a child of God, God's entrusted you with a baby and children is to raise those kids for him, not to be hypocrites in front of them. I see some people, they'll get on fire for God a couple months, they'll be serving God, and all of a sudden they go, boom. And then all of a sudden they stay in that valley for months and months, and then they'll come up out of that valley and want to serve God again. And the kids, what happens is the kids will say, I'm tired of the roller coaster. It's making me sick. Stop riding the roller coaster, Christian. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. That's one of the greatest verses on eternal security. One of the greatest verses on eternal security, that you can't lose your salvation after you're saved. Why? He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Whenever the Lord comes back or the Lord takes you home. I mean, folks, Christians, God desires fruit. And God, he had in his heart that we would bear fruit for his glory. And the fellowship should be unbroken when it comes to fruit in our lives. It should be not broken at all. God wants to have fruit in your life. Believing what Paul's saying to this church, he said, you believe what I preached, you're passing the message down to others, you're supporting us financially, and you're supporting us verbally and behind enemy lines. I'm going to tell you something. Paul's writing this church. He said, man, your joy that you bring to me is such a blessing. He said, keep doing it. The Lord's working in you. Every pastor needs people that bring joy in his life, that want to serve God. Every pastor needs that. And you know what happens? A lot of preachers, their wives get bitter. Their wives get bitter over what's going on, what the preacher has to go through, and all that stuff. And thank God my wife had not got bitter. She had, thank God for that, 30 years. She hadn't got bitter. Women usually hold things in. You ladies know what I'm talking about. Women will hold it in where a man will fight it out and they'll forget it. But a woman will hold it and hold it and hold it. Ladies, what you got to do is get rid of it, forget it, and man, pray, say, God, I give it to you. And forget that thing. Paul's saying, you all bring joy to my life. Joy. I hope, man, when we get to heaven, and I believe this, I believe the Lord's going to say, Faith Baptist Church, Smyrna, Delaware, front and center. Everybody been a part of this church, front and center. So how do you know? Well, he wrote to seven churches in Revelation. And he said to a couple of the churches, I got something against you. As a pastor, I've got to stand in the front. And I don't want the Lord to look down and say, Faith Baptist Church, Smyrna, Delaware, I have something against you. I had something against you. Yeah. Whose fault would it be? All ours. Right. Not just mine. Yeah. All of us. As a leader, I'll be in more trouble than you. Paul's writing this church. This church, he doesn't say anything bad about. This church is a great church. Being confident of this very thing. He which hath begun. Are you letting him work in you? Are you letting him have his way in your life? What happens to Christians? Summertime comes along. You start letting down your guard a little bit. You start sliding. You say, how can I stay right? Stay in your Bible. Stay in church. Stay being a faithful witness. Passing out tracts. Don't go places where you shouldn't be. I've had to go get Christians out of bars. That's not a place for no Christian. In darkness, no place at all. He with that which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Are you allowing him to work in you? Are you willing to let him do it? He wants to. Brother Joe was preaching this morning talking about Jesus Christ thought it not robbery. He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, became servant. What he wants to do, he wants to work in your life. And what most Christians will do, they say, well, he don't know what he's doing. The Lord don't know what he's doing. Oh, yes, he does. He knows best for you. He knows what's best for you. If you'll let him work in you. There's some things in your life he wants to get out. He wants that stuff out. Why? So you produce more fruit. He wants fruit from us. Amen. A life of obedience. A Christian life is a life of obedience. And like I said in 1 Samuel, he says, disobedience is as a sin of witchcraft. And the Lord wants you to be obedient. Just like we want our children. If you're not obedient, it's going to come out on your kids. If you're not obedient. Every day I live, folks, be honest with you. I'm always trying to be honest with you. Every day I live, I want to be obedient. I want to be sensitive to his spirit. I want him to say, hey, Alan, I want you to go talk to that person. I want to do it. I want to be sensitive to it. I want this church to be sensitive to the spirit. Why? We see people saved. We want to see people discipled. We want to see people come back. I want this church to be obedient. Why? One day we'll stand before him and give it an account. We're in a race. Folks, let's do our best to finish. Let's finish the race that God set before us with joy. Father, thank you again this morning. Thank you for your mercy. My Father, I pray, God, you'd help us this morning as Christians, as Faith Baptist Church, God, help us to finish the course with joy rather than grudgery.